Our gospel reading for today is the last portion of Luke chapter 10, and it starts at verse 38. And I want you to take note of the anatomy of an explosion. So, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, how many ways are you like Martha? There's lots to do. And it's okay that there's lots to do. God has foreordained, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, God has foreordained all kinds of things for you to be busy about in your life. Think about how many details there are in being married, right? I mean, from sun up to sundown, there's things that we can do for our spouse. Perhaps you have one who isn't afraid to let you know what needs to be done. Those are called good works. And they start with our thoughts. They go on into our words. They go into our actions. I mean, think about the kind of good works that God has foreordained for you to walk in as parents. And you know, our children need our good works, and we need their good works too. It's just hard to figure out why they're good works, because some of them don't make a lot of sense, because some of them are stinky, right, Amanda? You know, so we're learning how God serves us as we serve those precious little children God gives us. Think about it as being a neighbor. I mean, sometimes neighbors are a little too close in North Texas, I must say. But they're right there, and you've placed them in that neighborhood so that maybe you can pray for your neighbors and help them out when they have problems, be of service to them, and whatnot. And all these things are good. There's nothing wrong with giving of yourself and caring for the people around you. The challenge is that, like Martha, we can begin to lose it. I mean, she started out with the best of intentions. Hey, I'll invite Jesus and his disciples over, and we'll make a nice meal, and I'll be a good hostess. And, you know, with the best of intentions, it started, only for her to say to Jesus, "Don't you care?" I mean, do you think for a minute that Martha invited Jesus only so that she could yell at him? I don't think so, but this is what happens. It's important to understand the warning signs. So it goes like this. Well, I'll help out my neighbor. And then now he's starting to get on my nerves. And now I'd like to strangle him. And now I'm going to get after him. And that's the way it goes. It happens with kids. It happens with spouses. It happens with friends. It happens with people in churches. But that's where ministry is. Ministry is about learning how to care for the people around us. They need our good works. God doesn't need any of our good works. Everything necessary for us to stand in front of God has been done by Jesus, who did all the good works for us, took our place on the cross, died for us, and it's in that good work toward us, that one righteous act, Paul calls it, that we now have everything good with God. God doesn't need any of our good works. The people around us do. And that's where the problems begin. So take heed of the warning signs. It starts with the best intentions, and then we start doing the stinking thinking thing. And then we start brewing up and vexing ourselves and then exploding. Don't you care? I mean, maybe we don't explode to Jesus, but we explode to the people we're trying to serve. And isn't it fascinating how they can take the bait? Not only can we have a bad attitude, but pretty quickly we can create within them a bad attitude as well, right? Now, it's not that it's our fault that they're going with us in the trail that we're going on, because it takes two to tango, but it's amazing how quickly there can be a whole host of people getting after each other. And it all started out with the best of intentions. It all started out with the best of intentions. How many ways do we lose it? In the various and sundry relationships we have with people. I mean, wouldn't life be a whole lot better without any people around? But that's not the case. God actually wants us to be around each other. And actually, we're meant to be in community. The challenge is we need to understand what the warning signs are before they get out of hand. And frankly, for most of us here, we don't want it to get out of hand like it used to. Who wants to take a vacation in anger toward your spouse anymore, even though you take day trips from time to time? No, we're the baptized. We know what it's like to be treated and forgiven by a merciful God. And so we want to give of ourselves to the people around us. It's just that sin gets into the details, and then we mess it all up, and then we feel bad about how it's ended up. And then we pull other people along in an anatomy of an explosion. Just like Martha, who not only got mad at her sister, but got mad at her guests. You see, Martha missed the point of it all. In her home, with Jesus present, she wasn't the hostess. She was the guest. And Jesus was the host. And she needed to sit with her sister, Mary, and to receive what only Christ could give, so that she could serve. That's the whole point of it all. And you know, this is one of those stories in the New Testament where you'd like to hear the rest of it. But it's kind of like, you know, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away. The end. Like, what? Wait, what? What happens to Martha? What happens next? How does the meal get finished? What's going on? And they lived happily ever after. None of that. It's crickets. I mean, did Martha go, huh, and storm off into the kitchen and bang everything around and say, "You'll never forget this meal in my home, mister"? Crickets. Nothing. It's zero. But like you've probably heard many preachers say, it's not about Martha anymore. It's about you. It's about me. It's about how we handle the stresses in our lives where we're trying to give of ourselves and it's not being received so well. Or we're trying our best to do things and we're starting to wreck our own thinking with our stinking thinking. It's about us. And this is the truth of this text. If we are going to stand a chance in our marriages, in our parenting, in our friendships, in our neighborhoods, as a congregation with each other, if we're going to stand a chance, this is the key. We need to be served by Jesus often, because he knows we're weak and he knows we struggle, and he wants us to succeed. He wants us to succeed across the spectrum of who and what we are, across all the skills, knowledge, and abilities that we have. But for those things to function well in us, in you and me, we need to be filled with his love and his forgiveness. And so he gathers us around his meal often. He gathers us to hear his word in song, in scripture, in sharing, in sermons, in study, so that we can, in his strength, carry out our lives. So that we can give of ourselves and learn to die to ourselves when it's not going so well for us. So that we can smile and love the people around us that need our love so much. I mean, that's what spouses need from each other. They need that love. That's what kids need from parents, what parents need from their kids, what we need from each other, St. Paul, Lutheran Church. We need that willingness to keep serving when we're being stinky. or when it's not easy, or when it would be a whole lot easier to go fishing than to say a prayer, or to pray for people when we're fishing, or to help when we don't want to help anymore. That's what makes us different. And that's why Paul was willing to suffer and struggle to try to make a difference. And that's what is needed in all of our relationships. And it's all a good thing. And Jesus knows it, and so he feeds us and gathers us here in this place so that we can settle for nothing less than caring for the people around us, praying for the people that we think about. Maybe even tell them we're praying for them every once in a while when they keep praying on our mind and we keep praying for them, if you're following what I just said. I mean, it's fascinating. We're in our third neighborhood as a Rollison family in Frisco, and it's like, you know, I'm looking at some of my neighbors like for the first time. They're no longer just scenery to me. They're people. It's interesting how people go through that transition. And you start noticing things, and you wonder why people are missing, and you find yourself saying the most interesting prayers. You know, did that family blow up in a divorce? Did that person go off to school? All these crazy things you think about when you start slowing down and thinking about people and treating them the way they need to be treated. But boy, for us to do it, we need the care that Jesus gives to us, because we're just people and we lose it and we take people with us, not wanting to. But in the strength of Jesus, we learn to talk about things and address things and deal with things. And maybe those things will get solved this time in our marriage or in our parenting or in our grandparenting. Maybe this time things will be taken care of at work or with the neighbors. Or maybe this time what we're trying to accomplish as a congregation will see some cool things that no one saw because we were willing to learn together. I mean, because that's what it's about, and that's what makes people in our lives so precious, because we learn so much from them and we see new things from them. And then we realize the people in our lives are gifts that God has given to us, and we can love them again. Thankful for the truth that no matter what kind of shape we're in, Martha, Jesus isn't afraid to tell us what we need to hear, and he isn't afraid to give us what we need, because God knows we need it. So the next time you see the warning signs, what Psalm 46:10 say? Be still and know that I am God. Just stop. Just stop. Just stop. New American Standard Bible translates verse 10 this way. I love it. Cease striving and know that I am God. I mean, chances are you're all super achievers. I mean, you're in the Metroplex after all, and you're still here. So you must like it. So you're busy about all kinds of things, but there's a time where you just say, stop, cease striving, and know that I'm God. God, you're God, and I forgot about it again, and I'm trying to play the role that only you can play, so hold me and heal me and help me and love me, and thank you for loving me for Jesus' sake. And help me to slow down so that I can cook in the kitchen or work with the kids or walk with my spouse, talk with my friend, or shake hands with my enemy before the day takes me away again. How many of us are like Martha? How many of us get kind of bugged by Mary? Well, let's be Mary and be still. In the name of Jesus, amen.